Yeah, hello, welcome to the Donald and Hillary podcast. That's right.
We're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast again.
This is a new one. Well, first of all, I'm Darragh Cullen.
Ah, we know who you are.
Yeah, might be new listeners. This is Ben Corbett.
Hello, yes.
We were on a show called The Weekly Schmooze.
Oh, The Weekly Schmooze.
And
had another member as well.
Mr. Owen Byrne.
Mr. Owen Byrne, but he can't be with us because he's dead. I killed him.
So that happened.
With my raw sexual magnetism, and Darragh can vouch for this, I mean, the fact that he's still alive amazes me.
I was pretty wounded myself, but luckily I have a stronger immune system to sexual magnetism.
Yeah.
Built up over quite a long amount of time.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we should probably explain the general concept of the podcast, which is that it's a show where we talk.
It is.
Sometimes we'll have guests.
Oh, we will.
Sometimes we won't have
music-y guests. Film-y, me guests.
Yeah. Mainly music.
Mainly music.
First,
yeah.
Because I'm a musician.
Because Darragh's a musician. As long as, you know, if you didn't know, Darragh's a musician with two albums called Darragh Cullen's The Finish Line and Darragh Cullen, the other one.
That's here. Whispers and Silent Screams.
That's what it's called. Hear that title. How deep and fucking emotional is that?
Very deep.
Not really. Darragh is the most emotionally hollow person I've ever met. Still!
I'm basically a robot. But on these non-guesty episodes, which today's one, we are going...
Yeah, fuck it. The Nerdist calls them hostfuls. We're going to call them non-guesty.
Non-guesty.
Yeah, to hell with you, Chris Hardwick, Jonah Ray and Matt Moira.
Well, no, this is basically they're very nice.
Oh, God, they're the loveliest people.
We won't say to hell. Mm. But for the purpose of...
Damn you and damn your duck pond is what we shall say.
Damn you and damn your duck pond. Nice reference.
Blackadder reference.
Yeah.
Then we should point out that most of what me and Darragh say is quite cryptic because it is all in film references.
Pretty much, we speak for them. And that's
so, if you literally don't know every line from every movie and every TV show ever, turn off now! Because there's literally fuck all point in you listening to this.
On that note, we're going to... what was I saying? I was saying something.
I don't know. What were you doing?
On these non...
Random tangents.
On these non-guesty episodes, we're gonna have a topic which we're going to try and keep to... We've done about 4 minutes already without getting to this.
Four minutes already and we haven't even addressed
obviously,
the topic. We are killing time well, people.
It's
we
a very loose...
killing time well.
It's going to be a very loose topic. Mm. But it'll be a topic nonetheless. And this one is... Our theme this week for it is the 24th of November, the day after the day of the Doctor.
Yes, because yesterday was the 23rd of November, the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, which was ball-tinglingly fantastic.
It was amazing.
Like,
it was absolutely amazing.
Right, I'm gonna, like, my two major moments. When David Tennant...
Spoilers.
If you haven't seen it, the lid don't listen from now on. When Tennant says, in completely out of context, I don't want to go,
that was
in a reference to his final line ever as the Doctor,
yeah.
I swooned. Like, I was sitting beside Orla Byrne, and she had to she had to hold my hand, because I was going to cry. Because I was like... Like, honest to God, there's nothing worse than seeing a 19-year-old kind of tubby guy weep. There really isn't. There's nothing sadder than that situation.
About a fictional character.
Hey, you know how I feel about Tennant.
I know.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
It's me, Joe. Yeah. Well, no, you're more obsessive, but
it's,
I have a love for him.
But, yeah, and then, honest to God, when I saw Peter Capaldi's eyebrows and his eyes,
oh.
I got a tiny bit erect. I'm just going to throw it out there. I was like, oh.
You were, no, I saw it.
Oh.
I saw it in my house.
Oh. Just made that noise. I literally made that
noise.
Me and
my family watched it in our house on the telly.
So that's
Ben
even
went,
more awkward when you
Ben
get
went
erect.
To the cinema. I didn't
oh, yes, sorry, yes. I went to see it.
And what was the reaction like when Capaldi came on the screen?
Oh, everyone.
Cheers.
Everyone went, oh.
I would have loved that. And was there, what about when Tom Baker came on?
Everyone went, oh, that exact noise.
Because my dad hadn't seen the article where Baker kind of leaked his...
I love that. Normally other people leak it, not the person themselves.
He's old, he doesn't
care. Tom Baker, not just is he old, he's fucking crazy.
He is mad.
And to be fair, he's always been mad.
He pretty much is his character. He is.
The and he is. He's the guy. He's the no-legged pirate from Blackadder. Like, he's all
he is
the,
indeed. Redbeard.
And he's all these...
Is he red? No, he's red. What's the name of it? It is Redbeard.
Yeah, I think it's Redbeard because he's ginger.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, you have a woman's legs. Literally everything he says is, oh, you have a woman's enter body part here. Which is weird because he'd say shit like, oh, you have a woman's penis. Okay.
That was a great episode. I must watch that again.
Yeah. That was a good
one. Yeah, so there was a good reaction to Baker then.
Oh, it was a great reaction.
My dad's kind of, you hear the voice.
Yeah, you hear the voice.
And he's
first.
Off camera and my dad just went, huh! Yeah. Just kind of gasped.
No,
and then they showed him on the screen and my dad nearly...
But to be honest,
himself.
I gasped when they said, when it's like, oh, all 12 of them.
Yeah.
And then he goes, no, all 13. Before I'd even seen Capaldi, I was like, ah!
Watched this clip about 10 times since I recorded the special on the old UPC box. And I just keep fast forwarding to that clip all the time.
I do.
So it's just a hand going down and then his eyebrows. And that's
his eyebrows and his eyes looking quite angry.
Yeah. And that's
but
it.
He always looks angry.
And that's all you need. And it was amazing.
That's all you need.
Absolutely amazing.
All you need is Capaldi. Boom. But yeah, no. And it was really funny as well, though.
Oh yeah, Chenins and Smith were kind of magic.
And yeah. John Hurt was brilliant. He was so lovely. He was so lovely. Even as the war doctor, he is so lovely.
He's very conflicted. Mm. I like that now. So it's the show's gone in a completely. It's gonna go in a completely different direction now.
What?
Because the doctor has been changed fundamentally as a person because he didn't commit genocide anymore. So that's
gonna
be.
He's not
gonna
remember. No.
No, but Matt Smith will. The 11th Doctor will. Because he had the adventure. The War Doctor doesn't, and David Tennant doesn't.
Yeah.
So Matt Smith will.
I like that they threw in that too. I like that they actually do throw in two lines from Christopher Eccleston as well.
Oh, he had the, yeah.
Which is such a shame that, like, he resents it.
Because the rest of them all got involved in some shape or form. Because McGann did the mini episode.
McGann did
the
mini episode.
The other, the Peter Davison, Colin Baker, and Sylvester McCoy did the Five Doctors reboot.
Except for the ones who are dead, they all got involved.
But those three didn't, yeah. Those three were dead.
But they are in it, they are in it.
They're in it, but they're not, obviously they can't
not in it,
come
in
back
it.
To life.
They're like, there's just clips from them.
Well, all the other surviving ones did something for the...
Which I was surprised, they even managed to get Tom Baker back.
Nah, I was surprised he was in this one. I knew he'd do something though. Mm. I figured he'd do some sort of part.
And you know, Tennant is just magical.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Yeah, oh, he's just...
Because I watched a load of Tennant episodes in the
that's
last
what I, yeah, that's what I, that, that's what I did beforehand. I watched his first Christmas special.
Yeah.
Girl in the Fireplace, which is awesome. Stephen Moffat's first episode as well.
Oh, was it? It was the first one.
That's his first solo episode was Girl in the Fireplace. That's mad, Ted. What else did I watch? And I watched Satan's Pit. No, The Impossible Planet.
Okay.
Because I didn't get to
I watched Fires of Pompeii because Capaldi and Karen Gillan were in it and I hadn't seen it for a while, so I was like...
I'm not a big fan of that episode.
It was pretty... Well, it's just kind of cool to see the two actors who are now part of the show even more. I watched the three-part Master episode.
Oh, Derek Jacobi and then John Sim.
And then I watched The End of Time, of course.
As you do.
Part one and two.
Even though,
Oh, no, that's his last one. That's like the big one.
Tennant's
last one, yeah.
I know it's his last one, but I don't necessarily think it's a brilliant one.
Well, those last 15 minutes.
Oh, the last 15 minutes, especially when he gets so annoyed with Wilf.
Yeah, and then just him saying goodbye to the companions.
The best thing ever is that the knocking four times is the sound of the drums, because the sound of the drums is...
And it's just the... Yeah.
And it's just... It's Will knocking on the door, and you're like, "Oh, it had to be you."
John Sim in that episode is incredible. I'd forgotten how good he was.
No,
the time where it's like Timothy Dalton was okay.
Hoping he was going to be in the 50th.
I thought he might because I saw the Time Lords coming in.
Yeah,
they had other people though. They had your man from Broadchurch and stuff.
Oh, that's where he was from.
The guy.
For the life of me, I couldn't remember. Yeah, he's the crime scene investigator, Chappie Majap.
Yeah. That fella.
That guy.
And then...
That bloke.
But, John Sim in that End of Time episode.
Oh,
no. The bleached blonde hair and going...
I think I prefer his first two Master ones.
Oh, he was good in this, though. And then when he turns into everyone on the planet, it's a good performance.
Quite weird, yeah.
But Tenants.
No, I prefer his first master. Oh, Tenant's last scene. I don't want to go. Oh, I don't want you to go either. I still watch.
I watched Vincent and the Doctor.
I still watch that. Maximus.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, the Vincent Van Gogh.
Well, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I don't know what my favourite Matt Smith one is.
I always liked the James Corden ones. I liked them. I thought they were fun. I mean, I'm not a huge James Corden fan, but I liked him in those.
No,
two.
I'm really not a huge James Corden fan.
I have a soft spot for dinosaurs on a spaceship. Wouldn't be my favourite.
Ah, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
And your man's in it from Sherlock.
Yeah.
And David Bradley as well.
And
forgot about that.
Arthur Weasley.
Yeah. And
Mitchell and Webber in that one as well.
As the two robots, yeah.
Jam-packed episode.
Jesus Christ, that is a really jam-packed episode. But I don't necessarily... That series isn't that good.
I was okay.
But that was just because it was the lead of the 50th.
I think it was...
50th.
Yeah, it might be not. I still enjoyed it, though.
They did their best with the time and the budget they had.
I also liked the last episode of the series, The Name of the Doctor one. That was good. That was like the prequel to the 50th sort of...
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice episode.
Do you know what I realised yesterday? The amount of people who hate Clara...
Really?
Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of her myself, to be honest.
Oh, she's so hot.
You know, hotness doesn't make up for everything else.
But I'm a very shallow human being.
In the words of O'Doherty, hotness doesn't make up for everything else.
Okay,
she makes you go to bars with a cover charge, and you know, when you get in, she makes you pay for everything. You know?
No, I like Clara. I think the real test with Clara, though, will be Capaldi.
No, because there can't be any sexual tension. There just can't.
I'd say it'll be more like
30 years older than her.
It'll be more like the first episode, or the first Doctor, it'll be almost like a granddaughter or a daughter sort of relationship.
Yeah, it'll be weird. Or they just might get rid of her.
Interesting. She's doing the next series anyway. She's contracted. So. But I think that'll be the test. That'll be a big test. Because you know the way Rose did the first series with Chris Reckleson, and she was great, but then when her and Tennant... we're together, it stepped up another level.
Yeah.
But the thing is... maybe this will happen with Clara, where she'll be able to prove herself a bit more with Capaldi.
The thing about Tennant was when Tennant came in, it became a very loving relationship. Like, it became a love story.
Oh yeah, it'll be a different sort of
dynamic. Won't be like that with Clara.
But I mean, it just in terms of changing doctors and having...
And she's not
time.
Jenna Louise Coleman anymore, she's just Jenna Coleman.
I noticed that, that was weird.
Weird.
Did you see as well?
How dare she change her name?
She was working in the same school that
the first companion goes to. Oh my god.
I was actually.
And in that room, in the vault, they have the gravity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have the gravity clamps from Doomsday on the shelf.
And then your one who's the head of the Secret Service person, she was the daughter of an old companion as well.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Like, very cool.
And then, of course...
the amount of, like, cool, like, just nerd things that were in it were awesome.
There was Captain Jack's teleportation device and stuff.
That was pretty good.
Oh, the Queen Elizabeth thing I thought was cool. Because that, in the end of time, that's just a throwaway line of Tennant in the first scene. Tennant goes in, he goes to the Oods, who tell him about the prophecy that he's going to die.
They
tell him about the Master. And the Oods are like, what have you been up to? And he's like, oh, you know this and that, married the Queen Elizabeth. That was a mistake. And it was just one line. And then they built a whole 50th anniversary special around that one line.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
It was Tennant, you know, we can make one line work.
She was good as well. She wasn't
She was good. I liked her. Yeah, I like her. She's good.
Stacey from Gavin and Stacey.
First thing, she's Stacey from Gavin and Stacey, but she will always be the person who was getting rolled over the table by Martin Freeman in Love Actually.
I love that scene in Love Actually. The awkward conversation.
Of course you do.
Ridden? Is that true?
While she's being ridden? We don't know.
Possibly.
Email us at totaltomfoolery@gmail.com if you know the answer.
That's not actually our email address.
No, that's not our email
address. We could set up an email.
We could actually set up an email address.
We haven't set up anything yet.
Yeah.
We will. We'll get there.
I had fish fingers and custard yesterday.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know you all think it's really weird, and the best thing is buying it as well.
Yeah.
It was me and Sean Vrain did it, and we went
to
the
shop.
Friend of the show, Sean Vrain. And we went to the shop to buy it. And the weird thing is that you're buying it and the look you get out of the person. And the thing is, I just wanted to say, I'm not weird. Well, I am weird. I just really like Doctor Who, okay? And then run away. Because that is literally all you can say in that situation, because you're buying fish fingers and custard. But we tried it. And it's one of those things that's just like, actually, you know what, it kind of works. So obviously somebody did their research on that for the show.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like,
that must be a great job. It's like, you try the fish fingers and custard. See
you there! Try the fish fingers and custard.
That must be one of those times you're like, I can't believe I get paid to do this.
I can't believe I get paid to eat this shit. And then you go home and vomit everything up because you feel terrible because you've just eaten fish fingers and custard.
I mean, if you do it in moderation, I'm sure.
I also wore a bow tie to the premiere. Not the premiere, to the cinema. Yeah, I wore a bow tie. And the one day I can't find my Sonic screwdriver, which was really annoying.
No. I
might have thrown it out, though.
I have a David Tennant t-shirt that I wore. It's got a...
David Tennant and Barty Crouch Jr.
So. Yeah. Doctor versus...
Which was actually before Doctor Who.
Yeah, that was 04 and he was 06.
Which is, well, see, I...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just thinking that yesterday. Like, I've been watching it since it restarted.
05.
I've been watching it since Exorcist, and that's 8 years ago. I'm like, holy fuck.
I
was 11 years old.
It's mad, yeah.
Oh my god, 8 years ago. I was in primary school, goddammit.
In prep for some of the Bad Wolf stuff, because I knew Bad Wolf would make an appearance because of the trailer.
The Bad Wolf girl, oh, I love that.
So I watched those Eccleston ones about Bad Wolf. I watched like the last two, and I watched the first one as well. He wasn't bad. He was quite good, I must say.
Who?
Eccleston,
I thought was brilliant.
He was great, yeah.
I thought Eccleston was really good, and it's such.
It's because he only got the series. People always just think he's the guy before Tennant, but he was a good doctor.
Oh, he was a really good doctor. His first episode was the weird walking mannequin.
Yeah.
The living plastic, which was really silly.
It was.
When you think about it, it is really silly.
I must say, the special effects have come on a lot since that.
Oh
episode.
My god, they really have, haven't they?
I mean, I still watch them.
When Mickey was plastic.
Oh, that was Jesus. Like, I didn't know how she didn't cop on.
No, you wouldn't. He looks completely different. He really was totally pointless. And you know, he was Rose's boyfriend. She literally just forgets about him like that.
And then he ends up marrying
Martha Jones. Who I never really liked.
Yeah, we were watching a few of hers. She was the weakest link of all the companions, I think.
Because then she's followed by Catherine Tate, and Catherine Tate was just brilliant.
And then Catherine Tate as well, you went in not thinking she'd be great.
Yeah, because she ended up really known for all her comedy, and you're like,
she ended up really kind of surprising everybody.
Will it be too funny?
And then, of course, Billy Piper was the queen of the companions.
Yeah, she's the queen of companions.
And then who else?
Well, no, Sarah Jane Smith is probably queen of companions.
Overall.
When you think about it, overall.
Of the new ones, though, Rose would be.
Rest in peace, because she's dead now.
Sarah Jane, yeah.
Such a shame.
Watched a few of her episodes. Like her old ones. Like,
did you ever watch Sarah Jane Adventures?
A bit. Not really. Not much. I watched, like, one or two episodes. It was a kids' show. It was very
child oriented.
Yeah.
Doctor Who was supposed to be, though.
Doctor
Who was just a horror show for kids. What it is.
Well, it kind of encompasses the whole family, you know what I mean? In not a shit way, though. The main character throughout these last 8 years had committed genocide, which is a big thing for a kids' show. Thing.
I love the thing how so many, it's pretty yeah, I love the fact like, that the one thing they focus on is how many children.
Yeah.
2.7 billion.
It's going to be interesting now with Capaldi because he won't have that anymore. He won't have that amount of darkness hanging over him. There'll still be a bit of darkness, I'd say.
Mm.
But he won't have that big thing hanging over him. So it's going to be interesting seeing what they do with that.
Yeah, I was saying, that's what I know.
I'd say the new series will focus a lot on finding
Gallifrey. I think that's what made Tennant so much better, though. It's because of the whole... Because in it they call Tennant the Doctor Who remembers.
Mm. And then
Matt Smith is... No, Tennant is the Doctor Who regrets and Matt Smith is the Doctor Who forgets.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made... Because that's what gave Tennant had so much more to work with.
Yeah.
Because he has the whole... The Time War is constantly hanging over him in that
thriller. Where Smith is more like...
Smith is more childish.
In the back of his head.
To the back of his head. And that's why Tennant's ones were... Oh my god. If you haven't gathered by now... That I genuinely have a man crush on David Tennant.
Yeah.
I'll say it. Oh, what a man. But I don't like the ponytail.
That's fair play.
I just don't. Yeah, oh, no, fair play. Yeah. The commitment to be like, I'm going to grow my hair and look like a ponce for a play.
We didn't grow it.
It's all hair extensions.
But still, to keep it up.
Fair play. you know, and he has kids, quite young kids, so I'd imagine they pull his hair a lot. Like, a lot. His wife's quite good looking.
Georgina?
Mm.
Peter Davidson.
Peter Davidson's daughter, and his daughter. Quite weird.
That's the weird thing.
Fictionally, she's David Tennant's daughter, whereas in real life, she's the daughter of the fifth doctor. Yeah.
In prep for this one, I also watched the Children in Need special from a few years back, where it's the 10th and 5th doctor crash into him.
Oh, that's a brilliant one. Where he's wearing,
I'd never seen it before.
Oh, so I forgot the celery stick. Yeah. Bullshit.
Then he does that lovely speech about you were my doctor.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
Because he would have been 10. He would have been like around.
Yeah. Tennis. Well, let's say Tennant's, I'm going to get, I think, 42, which would mean he was born in 71.
Yeah.
And which would mean, and Davison was mid 70s.
So. Yeah, so he would. Yeah, there we go.
I think also Moffat wrote that episode. So. Which Moffat's older. He's 52 or
3. Is he?
So he would have been. Probably would have been Hartnell. Would have been his Hartnell or...
Well, yeah. Jeez. Oh, it's everything so old.
Ah, 50's not that old.
I was told yesterday that I look 24.
Yeah.
I don't look 24. Do
That's
I?
Not that far off. You're 19. Now.
5 years.
What?
Oh. Even my sister, who is 10 years younger than me, always says, "You're old." Shut up. No, I'm not.
Try again, put it like 20... 6, 27.
That's because you have a beard. I don't even have a beard.
You're wearing a suit though, to be fair.
I'm not wearing a suit. I'm in a shirt and tie.
It's a suit as I'd ever get.
It's as suit as I'd ever get.
I just made up English, bitch.
Well done. Invisible high five to you, because no one can actually see the fact that I didn't even high five you. Oh shit, I've spoiled the illusion. because I was just at work.
Yeah.
And I work in a hotel.
That's very fancy.
That's nice.
I make my main living from stripping.
Dara's music shit.
Pretty much.
And yet his dancing is amazing.
When he dances,
you really come.
As publicity, I sometimes dance to my own songs. And people notice. Sometimes I dance. I strip to my own songs.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm still in the bit, Ben.
Yeah, I thought we were back in reality where you're not actually a stripper and you dance to your own songs to promote your music.
It's not a bad idea. I might start doing that.
Sounds like something some really desperate musician has tried at some point. Standing outside HMV dancing to his own music.
I know a lot of actors strip before they become famous. Like Brad Pitt and Channing Tatum did it, of course. With the film.
Did they?
Yeah. That Channing Tatum, the Magic Mike film.
Yeah.
That's a true story. That's like his autobiography sort of. And Brad Pitt did it, and some other people have done it in the past. And there you go.
Speaking of Brad Pitt,
the counselor. We saw the counselor. Yeah, it wasn't.
It starts off
with Penelope Cruz.
I'm trying to describe this without actually saying. I don't want to say it starts off well.
But it starts off
provocatively. How can I put this in a cool hippity hoppity way?
Penelope Cruz and Michael Fassbender
have relationships. They have intimate.
First of all, they have a little chat. They start kissing a bit.
They do.
And they are...
On the lips.
They're both naked.
They are indeed.
And then Penelope Cruz...
Well, no, they're not. No, she's not. She's wearing like a nightie.
She is wearing a nightie. Yeah, that's true.
Cleavage in those shots.
Damn it.
Damn you, Ridley Scott! Penelope Cruz's cleavage is all I wanted to see.
And then Fassbender and her make love... In a oral way. That's how I'm going to say it.
Okay.
And
he's the top.
Yeah. That's not even the most hardcore scene.
Not even the most hardcore erotic thing in the film.
Because
Cameron Diaz makes love to a windshield with her lady parts.
While Javier
Bardem watches from the other side of the glass.
And he compares
and describes it. As a catfish. One of those weird fish that you see at the bottom of the ocean that drags itself along by suctioning itself to the bottom of the seabed. Now, people, you get that image in your heads.
And that's pretty much the film.
Just think about it. Vagina's suction cup. Little bit of column A, little bit of column B. God, what a weird film.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't good either, which is a shame.
Dialogue was a bit ropey.
Dialogue was ropey as
Character development was bad.
I blame Cormac McCarthy. Not in a jokey way, I genuinely do.
Not a good script. Now, the ending might have been off a bit as well, but that wouldn't excuse the dialogue.
Yes, if the editor fell asleep and actually made the end of the film the start of the film, the start of the middle, the middle of the film, and the middle of the film, the end of the film.
It was just all metaphors as well. Yeah, everything was a metaphor. Everybody,
you ever get one of those films where you're just, every 10 minutes you just want to stand up and scream, "Stop speaking in riddles!" That was literally how I felt.
Because it was all a metaphor, but you never actually found out what it was a metaphor.
What's a metaphor?
Like, basically, someone would say, "Hello, counselor." That was Michael Fassbender's given name.
Yeah, you never find out
why, really. Yeah. And then Fassbender would go, "The Eye of the Eagle. The storm is coming." Stuff like that. And you'd be like, what the fuck? Come on there.
Yeah, and like, stuff like, you know, flying fish only ever fly alone.
While Cameron Diaz makes love to a car. Brad Pitt, I thought.
Mechaphiles, that's what those people are called who make love to cars.
She's a mechaphile.
That's what she is. Unless there's some specific thing where you make love to glass, but I don't know what that is.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. For that, but I think the car was the main thing.
Javier Bardem is brilliantly weird as usual.
Yeah.
You see, he's got himself a fairly niche thing now, of just being great, weird.
Brad Pitt was good. His character didn't really need to be explained that much.
He was just kind of the middleman, a bloke.
Mysterious middleman who you don't know anything about and just is cool.
Yeah.
Wears a cowboy hat, drinks Heineken.
Yeah, that's it. Drinks Heineken. Yeah, he was quite, yeah. Probably the best thing about the film. No, Fassbender's acting is the best thing about the film.
I think actually Fassbender, because Fassbender had a lot less to work with and did more with it.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt was able to work with just being mysterious.
Yeah. So yeah, tune into next week's podcast when we have Michael Fassbender on. That's gonna be fun.
He's a great friend of mine, personally. I call him Fassy.
He's my part-time lover.
Full-time friend.
Isn't that a song? Part-time lover. Don't know the song. I just thought part-time lover. That sounds nice.
I think part-time lover, full-time friend is the full phrase as well.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know, Dara. I'm not into cheesy music.
I don't know what the song is. I'm into cheesy music, but I don't know what that's
probably what the song is.
Sounds like it's an 80s song. It feels like it's
an 80s classic.
Like Rick Springfield or Pat Benatar or something like that.
Oh, Pat Benatar. Hit me with your best shot. Yeah. Yeah.
All the people Dave Grohl made slightly cool again in Sound City.
Oh, has an album called Crimes of Passion.
Yeah.
There you go. A lot of her albums are oddly sexual. Crimes of Passion, Nervous, okay. Seven the Hard Way, In the Heat of the Night.
Yeah.
And Tropico, Best Shots.
Wow.
which is a fucking definite innuendo.
Yeah.
And Greatest Hits, my God. Yeah, so there you go. Would you like to know anything else about Pat Benatar?
Sure.
Okay. Born on the 10th of January, 1953.
So she was
She's
60.
She's age 16 now. And her husband is Neil Giraldo.
Oh, he's the guy who's in the film, I think.
What? Let me have a look. Movies and TV shows. Filthy Rich.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Okay, for some reason, I can only get his German Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay. Is there a picture with it?
I am unfortunately going to have to read this out in German. Okay. And I can't speak German. So this is in kind height. Neil Thomas Giraldo wuchs als Sohn Sizilianischer Einwanderer of Intrasiester Sichon Frufur Musik. Sowohl durch. Told you if I couldn't speak German. Sien Vorlieb für Elvis Presley. And Dara wants to see a picture of him.
Because I think he's the guy playing.
Blondie! Is that him?
Let me see, I'm going to type in Plain City.
Dara, if you look up porn on my phone again, I swear to Jesus.
Listen, those five times were just.
Five times in one night is what surprised
me. Yeah, he's in it.
Is that him?
That's him. He's in it.
Look at you there, Mr. Giraldo.
He tells a story about tracking the guitar for that song, Jesse's Girl.
Well, you know, and you know, the great thing is that when he comes on here now, and what is it, week four we have booked, he can tell the story himself.
Can I just prep it though?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Especially when people get really disappointed that he's not actually coming on the show. Wait a minute, I didn't say that. You can cut that out.
They're onto us, Ben.
Neil Giraldo is going to be on the show.
He was doing the guitar track and he was sitting down. And Rick Springfield had this really aggressive dog.
Right.
Would like he would kind of rip bits of the wall out on Saint City and stuff.
That's really weird.
And he was really like he was really aggressive, and he spent the whole song just as Neil's balls. And so the guitar track that's on the song was played while this dog nearly ate his ball off.
Oh wow!
That's musical tension right there, isn't it?
That is like life or death situation right there. I mean, wow.
And no one could jump in and get the dog, because if they did,
I still think the best is the sex on the floor of the studio in the
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, on the last song on Guns N' Roses' first album, it's the singer slept with the drummer's girlfriend, and she moans, and you can hear it on the song.
Yeah, the best thing about it is it's not Axl Rose's girlfriend, it's the drummer's girlfriend, because the drummer is so wasted that he can't do it himself. These were those heady Guns N' Roses days when they were actually good.
We might actually... I think we're at a good... near an hour. So.
What?
52 minutes.
Holy shit, we've been talking for 52 minutes.
That's mad, Ted.
That is mad, Ted.
That's going to be a catchphrase, by the way. We've already said it twice each in this podcast.
Ball-tinglingly brilliant is one of mine as well.
It's a good one, that's a good
Holy
one.
Holy balls, for some reason, is something I say a lot, and even though it makes absolutely no sense... It sounds as though I'm genuinely referring to God's genitals. Holy balls!
I'd say he calls them that as well.
Oh, I'd say he does as well.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up there. We should tell you, we've got a special exclusive companion piece to this podcast that's going to be up on YouTube.
Companion piece being the appropriate word, because it's the Doctor Who thingamajiggy.
Yeah, because this episode was kind of about the Doctor. We went off a bit, but...
Other tangents.
The main theme was the Doctor Who. I'm going to do a Doctor Who quiz with Ben, a little short one. So that's going to be up on YouTube.
Cool.
And you can check that out on our YouTube channel.
Cool.
I don't know exactly what our YouTube channel will be. It'll be Total Tomfoolery.
Total Tomfoolery videos.
Yeah, something like that.
We'll tell
you next week. You'll find it. We'll put it up on our...
I'm sure it'll be mad. We'll put it up on... We can just call the YouTube channel. That's mad, Ted. Let's do that.
That's mad, Ted. So, yeah. So check that out.
Check that out.
And we'll be back.
We'll be back in a week or so.
Yeah. We may have a guest then. We may not.
We may or may not.
We'll try.
We may be another non-guesty podcast, but who cares?
It'll be fun anyway.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It'll be good. Okay, so bye everybody.
Bye bye.
See you next week.